to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me. Could help. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help. Love lifted me.
And get Paul into another location. What is this? This is the clean side. This is the unclean side. What's going on here? Y'all the clean on this side. It's the unclean side on this. All the patch sailors were on that side. Amen. Well, all right. Take your Bibles. Turn them over to Acts chapter 16. Let's go ahead and stand if you can, if you're able. Acts 16, we're going to read verse 31, and then read a couple other verses, and we'll be done. Now, that's how I sound in the morning when it's time to get up. So, I'm familiar with that cry. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 16, and how many of y'all had a bad day? Nobody had a bad day? Huh? Oh, Shirley, okay. Looking at the side over here with all the folk at, amen. So I'm going to have to come over, bring my, put him over here. You had a bad day, Shirley. How's it doing? You doing all right?
It's better.
It's better? Not best?
No.
100%, amen. Y'all pray for Hurley's. Shirley's 100%, amen. All right. Well, let's go ahead. We're going to read verses 31 down to verse 35. But I'm praying that we can get this entire chapter finished out tonight as we can get into chapter 17 and get on to Thessalonica. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Any old me's? Amen. All right. Let's start reading together verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and unto all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, let those men go. Amen. Sound like Moses. Let my people go. Amen. All right, let's pray. We're going to get into this. Father, thank you once again for your miraculous delivery of us throughout this day, Lord, especially me and my family as we drove on the highway today. Lord, we know that travel is not automatic in that we can be in harm's way in just a moment of time, Lord. So thank you for your angels of mercy and your protecting and guiding arm as you watch over us, as you are our help. Lord, may we continue, as Pastor White said, continue to meditate on lifting our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Bless now the time we study in Paul's life. Lord, we may see some things that we can glean for our own benefit, our own personal edification, Lord. And I pray that tonight, as we look into the Word of God, there may be something that might arrest our hearts and arrest our souls to give us a greater glimpse into your glory and to see this matter of witnessing to people and seeing people get saved. Thank you for loving us now. Work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Well, amen. Well, since we started this in chapter 16, let me just quickly recant to you what we've studied. In verses 19, we saw the reason for the opposition, because this whole thing was about opposition, about Paul being opposed in Philippi. And don't you know, whenever you set out to do something for God, Pastor White, you're going to get opposed. Amen. I don't care what it is that you do for God. You're going to get opposed, whether it's something that you want to do for yourself, something you want to do for the church, something you want to do for somebody else. If it's spiritual, you're going to get opposed. Amen. And so we've been looking at the opposition throughout this chapter, verses 19 through 21. We saw the reaction to the opposition. And then in verses 22 through 24, we saw the result of the opposition. Paul was in prison. Verse 25, the response to the opposition, they prayed and sang, amen. Would to God we could get that in our hearts. When we get into a tough bind, that we pray and praise. Now, I don't know if y'all are like me. Pray and praise is normally the second and third thing I do. Moan and groan is normally the first two things I do. And after I moan and groan, and then the Holy Spirit says that's wrong, then I begin to sing and praise. Amen. My first thing is the moaning and groaning, and I would to God I could get away from that. And the only cure to that is God is going to send you more trouble until you actually learn to stop moaning and groaning when he sends you through something. Amen. He's not going to give you the good times if you don't know how to handle the bad times. Amen. And so I'm aware of that, and so I'm trying to praise the Lord more. And verses 26 and 27, we saw the release after the opposition, how their chains fell off. And then verse 28, we see the relief after the opposition. The jailer was going to kill himself. And then we saw the request after the opposition, verses 29 and 30. Philippian jailer came in, of course, and said, what must I do to be saved? Amen. And then we came up to the rebirth after the opposition in verses 31 through 33. And that's where we've been for the last several times that we've covered this. And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 31. And thou shalt be saved. And we went through great length to detail what that's about. And so we're not going to belabor that issue. But suffice it to say that they did get saved and the house got saved. Now, that's household Christianity. Amen. By the way, I'm a firm believer. Now, men, this is the onus is on us. If daddy gets saved and gets thoroughly right with God and starts living for God, the rest of the family normally will follow. I'm a firm believer of that. If a man that's fully surrendered to the will of God will get saved and totally surrender and sell out his life, his family is going to follow because they can't resist the faith that he has. They can't resist the power in which he walks. They cannot resist the power in which he talks and serves God with. They cannot resist his God because it's irresistible. Amen. I'm a firm believer. If daddy gets right with God, everybody else will fall in line. That's just a fact, amen. It's been proven time and time again. Oftentimes what happens is mama gets right with God, and then she's got to beg and plead daddy to get right with God. Come on, give me an amen. Y'all know it's true, amen. You got to bend his arm. Hey, I was the same way. My wife, let's go to church. Let's go to church. I ain't going nowhere, Devin, is what I told her. I ain't going nowhere. Finally, had to bend my arm. Let's go to church. Well, if I don't go, you're going to talk about me. I guess I'll go and sit up in there and bless me if you can, preacher. And God just beat me down. And man, I got saved. Amen. And guess what? Then I took off. Amen. Guess who's dragging who to church now? Amen. Come on, honey. We're going to church. Amen. Leave that junk alone. Amen. Let's go. Hey, we're going to soul winning. Leave that junk alone. Come on. What about the kids? Let's bring them some cereal in the car. Leave that stuff alone. I was going to cook some grits. We eat them when we get home. Come on, honey. Let's go over here to this act. Hey, come on, honey. Hey, I'm dragging her everywhere now. Amen. I'm glad she likes to be coming along with me, though. Amen. And I don't have to drag her. I don't have to force her. Amen. I don't have to do anything to say, we're going. The only thing I'd say is, what time are we going to get there? Amen. But hey, before I got saved, guess what? It was like pulling teeth to get me to do anything spiritual. Why? I was carnal. And it's hard to get a carnal person to do something. Amen. And so the father got right with God. Notice what it says down there. Verse 31. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, Father, shall be saved, and thy house shall be saved. Notice what it says, verse 32. They spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. So everybody got a dose of salvation. Amen. They got a chance to get that. Amen. I remember my grandfather. When he got saved, my wife and I was up there talking about being saved and stuff like that. And then my wife began to talk to him, and he had never been saved. And so we went ahead and led him to the Lord. And my grandmother, who's sitting over there, who we thought was saved, said, hey, look, I've never done that. I want to get saved, too. Well, we had family salvation. She saw her husband bow his knee, amen, a bone marrow cancer and all. And guess what? Then she bowed the knee as well. Amen. And so all his house down there. Notice down there it says, and he took them the same hour of the night, and to wash their stripes, and was baptized. Now, figure this one out now. Paul and Silas, obviously, battered, bruised, and beat. I'm sure nobody stopped to do anything hygienically speaking to him to clean his wounds. They beat him, threw him into prison. Their clothes are probably bloody, all tied to their backs. And now, you know how it is when that blood sticks onto your clothes, amen, you got to pull that stuff off. I'm sure they didn't come in and say, oh, let us change your garments now that you're in prison. It said they put them fast in the stocks. I mean, they thrust them in there after they got beat and just put them in there. They didn't have time to change any clothes or any garments or anything. Now the Philippian jailer comes up here and gets saved. And notice what it says down here. He took them the same hour of the night after he got baptized. Amen. And it says down there, and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Amen. But before we even get down to there, notice back up in 32. They spake unto the word of the Lord and all that was in his house. It took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized. He went ahead and got busy right after he got saved. What am I saying? Hey, as soon as you get saved, you ought to get busy. Hey, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. As soon as you get saved, that ought to be something you ought to do. Pastor, what I meant when I first got saved, I was I used to do the tape. We sang to accompaniment tapes. I was the tape watcher. Click. The choir would get up there and sing. They'd say, all right, Brother Dawson, you can stop it. Stop it. All right, brother, start it. Start. Stop. Turn it over. Start. Man, I was happy. I just sat back in the sound booth and pushed the button. I felt like George Jetson. Push that button. That's all I did. I was just as happy as could be. You say, preacher, but why did they get you to do it? Because I was so early. I mean, church wasn't going to start for another 30 minutes. And me and Carmen's at church already. Just sitting there listening to the choir. For a long, they said, you want to get up in the choir, Miss Dawson? Miss Dawson, yeah, I get up in there. She started singing. They didn't ask me. Put me back in the sound booth, back to the push buttons. And asked me if I want to get up there and do anything, amen. And so I'm back there pushing those buttons. Before long, Pastor White, there was an opening, Devin, and they needed me. They just needed a body, but they took me, amen. They needed a male body to fill in the choir. They said, Brother Dawson, you want to come up into the choir and get away from button pushing? Sure, I came up in there and started singing, and there was my legacy. I got in and I never got out. Now, they never asked me if I could sing before I got in there. Amen. But I could push buttons. What am I saying? Soon as he got saved, he began to do something. He began to show the love of God. He began to show what it means to be a Christian, to get involved in Christian ministry by helping others. By the way, Bible says, by love, what? Serve one another. Amen. And so right away, he got involved with that. And notice again in verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. So right away, he got baptized. Go over to Romans chapter 6 real quick. You're in Acts chapter 16. Go to Romans 6. Pastor White reads this every time someone gets baptized, because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they're going to get baptized to follow the Lord. Amen. Romans chapter 6. And by the way, each household member had to believe on the Lord independently. Pastor White, why don't you read Romans 6? Verses 3 through 11 for me, if you would. Each individual had to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and baptism showed the newness of life that the new believer has. It's an outward showing and an inward work of grace in the life. It symbolizes the death of the old man with Christ as he died for our sins. He was buried and rose again. And the newness of life coming out of the water. Pastor White, read those for me. Amen. Amen. And so when we have someone baptized, we read those verses. Amen. And so what happened here? The Philippian jailer got saved. Paul went home and talked to the house. The whole house got saved. They spake unto them the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. He took them the same night. He washed them up. He cleaned them up. But then he was baptized, him and all his, straightway, the Bible says. They didn't waste any time. They didn't have to go through no class. They didn't have to go through any preliminary hearing. They didn't have to go through any kind of anything. They just got baptized. Amen. It pains my heart when you see people come to know the Lord as their Savior and they don't want to get baptized, Pastor White. You got to kind of force them to get baptized. You got to con them into baptism. You know, you ought to get baptized now. As soon as I got saved, I'm like, look, what's the next thing I ought to do? What do I need to do? Amen. They said, you need to get baptized. Let's do it. I said, but I was baptized already. Does that count? They said, was you saved? No, don't count. Amen. By the way, baptism always follows after a person is born again. Always, never comes before. If it comes before, you are just a wet sinner getting wet and coming up out of the water. Amen. The change comes after you get born again, when Christ comes in your heart. Then you ought to want to follow Christ. The first thing he said, what? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of what? The Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What else? Teaching them to observe what? All things whatsoever I've commanded you. So he said, get them saved, get them baptized, and teach them the Bible. Amen. Hey, and that's what discipleship is all about. That's why we have several folks that are out right now. Amen. And so notice down there in verse number 34, because now we're continuing on with this baptism that to follow the Lord. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them. Now, in the previous verse, he washed their stripes. Now he's setting meat before them. He wants to fellowship with them. Amen. By the way, when do you think Paul and Silas had their last meal? Probably been a while, huh? Because remember, they were just casting a demon out, and all of a sudden the multitude rose up on him and beat him and put him in jail. So we know it had been at least since the previous day to midnight, because now it's dark. And so he brought them in. Now he's going to feed them, amen? And he set meat before them, it says, and rejoiced, believing with all his house. So what you see here now, he's got them down here, and this is the reply now after the opposition, the reply after the opposition. And notice he's following good suit with the New Testament. Go back to Acts chapter 2, and notice the New Testament, what they did here in verse number 41. He's following right in line with New Testament theology, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. Who's there? Can read verse 41 and 42. Brad, read those for me. Amen. Notice that. They gladly received the word. Then what happened? They got baptized straight away. They didn't have to go through any kind of class or training. And they continued, notice that, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, their teaching and fellowship. Amen. And breaking of bread. What's that? Eating and in prayers. So the Philippian jailer is following suit. How many of y'all think he knows New Testament theology? How many of y'all think he knows that you ought to fellowship with believers? I don't think he knows anything about that. You know what it was? It was natural. It was natural. When me and my wife got saved, it was natural for us to tell somebody what happened to us. Nobody had to take me through those soul winning class. Say, preacher, why? Because something great happened, amen. I got saved. I'm no longer going to hell. I'm going to heaven, amen. I'm going to tell somebody. Amen. Hey, can I get a witness, amen? I'm going to tell somebody when something good happens to me, amen. When G2 gets an A, guess what? Woo, daddy, I got an A. Now, when he don't get no A's, he don't come talking about that. We had to kind of root that out. Huh, what's that, G? Boy, I didn't know that letter was in the alphabet. Amen. Hey, but when he got an A, daddy, I got an A. Daddy, I got another A. Daddy, I got another A. Daddy, I got another A. Woo, daddy, I'm just A'd out. Amen. I said, all right, don't get that pride good for a fall. Amen. What am I saying? When it's good news, you don't have to have it scripted. It just happens. It just happens. Amen. And notice what it says down there in verse 46 in chapter 2. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They wanted to be around each other. What am I saying? When you get saved, you ought to want to be around other believers. You ought to want to be, you know, you shouldn't want to be around the unsaved anymore. Amen. Now, by the way, it's a slow process because normally you don't know anybody. Am I right? And so you go back to your friend. Say, I'm one of Tanya's old buddies. She just got saved. I got saved. I'm going to go over here. You know, Tanya, she got religion now. We can't talk about the soap operas around her no more. Now, she got religion now. We can't smoke no cigarettes around her. We can't drink no liquor around her. She got religion. And look at that. And then she gets over and she talks to Shirley. Shirley gets saved. Now, come on over there. Not Shirley. She got that religion, too. I got to go over here. When you get saved, people start running from you. If you're living for God. And if you're talking for God. Amen. Hey, they looked at me like I had two heads. Like I was a two-headed monster. Another head over here. I'm like, is there another head over here growing out of them? I just said Jesus. And then, oh! Jesus. And he didn't use it in a curse word. You really read the Bible? You go to church? You say amen? And you're not ashamed of that? No! Heavens, no. I'm saved now. I'm not the man I used to be. I'm changed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm new. It's not what it used to be. Amen. Praising God, it says in verse 47, and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. So it's a natural progression. Go back to chapter 16 with me. A natural progression of what the Philippian jailer is finding himself in. As far as wanting to break bread with the apostles. By the way, the person that led you to the Lord normally is the one that you want to go back to. You want to find out what happened. Now, if I buy something from Walmart, Brother Reyes works at Walmart. I'm not going to take it back to JCPenney's if I bought it from Walmart. I'm going back to where I got it from. Hey, if I got saved here, I'm not going somewhere else. I'm going back to where I got it from. Hey, can you help me work out this newfound Christianity I got? What am I not doing wrong? You know, I pushed the button that said go, and I'm not going anywhere. I want to find out what I got and how I got this thing. Amen. My wife and I tried like we could to go back and find out where the preacher preached at that morning. We couldn't find it in the Bible to save our souls. We had no clue where he was at in the Bible. Now, we knew Matthew, we knew Mark, we knew Luke, we knew John. And we knew Revelation and Genesis. My wife probably knew more than that. But I knew those books, and it wasn't in none of those books. It was there. I just couldn't find it. Amen. He's a newborn Christian. Amen. And so as you see here, the opposition now has turned for the better. And notice the rejoicing after the opposition, the rejoicing after the opposition. Verse number 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. By the way, when you get saved, there ought to be some rejoicing amongst you and amongst other people. Amen. The Bible said there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Amen. So when one person gets right with God and gets saved, there's joy in heaven. The angels are rejoicing. So the least we can do is say, at least grunt an amen. That's rough. That's rough. Amen. How many of y'all got excited when the Reyes family got saved? Amen. I know I did, amen. I got excited about that, amen. Kelly, anything happened to you last week?
Yes, I got saved.
Amen. Hey, there's glory in that, amen. Hey, what happened? Got saved on Sunday night after y'all was gone. Y'all went home. She came in. She said, the Lord just brought me to the church. Amen. Preaching's over, amen. Kenny said his last amen. And she was standing by the door back there, amen. Divine appointment of God. I got to talking with her. Next thing you know, my wife led her to Christ. She got saved. Y'all was long gone. Y'all was at home. We out there praising God, amen. Y'all was probably in the bed by the time we was there, amen. We out here Christian nightclubbing together, amen. Praising God and having favor with all the people. Hey, what does it say down there? In verse 34, he brought him in there. He rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Everybody that got saved there is excited about what was going on. Amen. The New Testament example is being followed. But notice this now. We come down here to this, the reply after the opposition. Verse 35. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant saying, let those men go. Now, how you like that? They done beat them down. And now they say, look, go tell them they can go. I don't think so. How many of y'all would let them get away with that? Some of y'all just be ready to run out of prison. Now, don't you think if Paul wanted to go out of prison, he could have got out when the prison gates opened during the earthquake? If he really wanted to go that bad, he could have been gone. He don't want to be gone that bad. He just had a little siesta that night as he's out getting some food and baptizing the guy in his house. Amen. Can you imagine that? He gone from prisoner to the palace, basically. I'm down in the inner parts of the prison down here where all the crumb and all the scum is at. I get taken out. Not only did I get washed by somebody else. How'd y'all like that? Get washed up by somebody else. Amen. I got washed up by somebody else and fed by somebody else. Now, aren't you glad that Paul wasn't a normal Jew? Because what if this Gentile would have gave him some pork ham? If he was like Peter, I have never touched anything common or unclean. I can't eat with you. But he bought us some chitlins, Pastor White. Stinking up the house. Paul come in there. What in the world is that horrendous smell? That's called pork chitlins. That's hog guts. We eat that being Gentiles. Paul said, you ain't even get saved back in that jail. You need to get resaved. And you need to get rebaptized. You ain't right. Amen. Brought out some pig feet and some pigtails and sat down there. Paul starts saying, man, you just all pigged out. Is everything about you swine? I don't think you're really saved. I'm glad Paul didn't have a hang-up about the food. He just brought him in and started eating whatever was there. Amen. By the way, what is there set before you? Eat, asking no questions. Amen. The reply after the opposition. And so when it was day, they sent these sergeants saying, let these men go. And notice this is a discreet reply. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. Like Paul's going to stir up some trouble. Notice that discreet reply. By the way, he could have been long gone. Now, by the way, you got to ask yourself this. Why were they changing their minds? Notice verse 22. It says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. It seemed like they wanted them to be good and secure. Why now let them go? The Bible doesn't really tell us why. But if you lock somebody up unfairly, so you think, why would you let them go? Conviction could be. Were the Romans superstitious? What happened at midnight? Earthquake, prison doors flew open. Possibly they got a visit by an angel that touched down the same time that earthquake touched down and said, you just messed up. You got some men that's locked up that don't supposed to be locked up. Now, the Bible doesn't say. I don't know. I'm speculating. But something made them change their minds and let them go. Because they were pretty vehement at about that time in verses 22 to 24. And notice down here several things about this area here, because Paul's going to say some things here about this whole situation, because they said that, hey, let them go. The discreet reply to let them go. And notice down here the disgraced reply, verse 37. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. So Paul brings up three basic charges. He said, you have beaten us contrary to Roman law. You've done it publicly, and you've done it without a trial. That's grounds for civil lawsuit there. That ain't going to set well. I can just see Jesse Jackson now. And what's that other guy? Al Sharpton. I can just see him now. We got a case. Let's go march. We got a case. You ain't getting away with that. You ain't get away with that. The disgrace reply. Paul comes back and says, I don't think so. By the way, why do you think Paul waits to this point to declare his Roman citizenship? He could have said it a long time ago, couldn't he? Jeremiah? Christians aren't supposed to retaliate when they're beat up. Yes. Okay. Amen. Why didn't you think Paul exercised this right previously? Why didn't he say something? Brad? Jailer wouldn't have gotten saved? By the way, this is more than likely the man who said, come over here and help us. Because you don't hear about anybody else getting saved on this trip other than this man, as far as men are concerned. So for all intents and purposes, Paul could have said, maybe the man that I'm supposed to reach is in prison somewhere. Don't know. But why else maybe did he not declare his citizenship until at this point in time? Early in his life, God told him he was going to stand before the... Amen. That could be. Let me ask you a question. If you're talking with somebody and you're friendly with them and befriending them, and all of a sudden you find out that they're an undercover cop, how would you be towards them afterwards? Wouldn't you change your behavior a little bit if you found out they were an undercover cop? Or they were part of the FBI or some investigative person? And, I mean, you hobnobbing with them, told them all your dirt and all your secrets, and they come back and they say, oh, yeah, and by the way, I'm an agent of Secret Service and blah, blah, blah. You're like, you are? Oh. You know, the thing I said about fudging on my taxes, I was just joking. Yeah. Now that goes, I think about, getting somebody to rob that store over there. I'm just joking, man. Can't you take a joke? Hey. Once we found out, we would totally change our demeanor. Paul didn't want it to be about him. It's supposed to be about Christ and about God. It's not about Paul's agenda. It's about Christ. And he wanted Christ to be vindicated. And Paul represented the young church that had just been started. And so it's convenient now to bring up his citizenship if for no other reason, so they don't go and beat up on that little church over there that this Philippian jailer and his family is probably going to go to. Where else is he going to go? He ain't got no place else to go. And so I've got to protect that church. Can you imagine the day I started this church, September 30th in 2001? Can you imagine the headlines on October the 2nd if I was involved in a scandal and it hit the newspaper? How many people want to come to this church? Pastor Dawson in scandal had raped 15,000 girls over here and told them all be quiet. They all came out at once. And I'm over here, yay, come this Shining Light Baptist Church. What does that do for the church name? Destroys it. So Paul says, look, I know I got a young baby church over here. This Philippian jailer is going to go over there, and I'm associated with that group, and I want you to come here and exonerate me. I've done nothing wrong. I've done no evil. I've not done anything wrong. You're going to clear me right now because I'm going back over to this church, and I want anything ill associated with that group of believers where this Philippian jailer is going to go. And it's very possible that that could be his methodology. Protect the baby church. The Christians have no place else to go but there. And at all costs, I've got to protect that church. Hey, if for no other reason, I'm going to do right because it's right to do by God. But I've got a wife that I've got to consider. I've got children I've got to consider. And I've got a church to consider. And so I'm going to make sure my testimony is clean because it's going to bring a bad name to my God, my wife, my children, and this church. And so I don't want to do anything that anybody on the outside could point and say, see, there he is. And he goes to Shining Light Baptist Church. He's associated with that church. And he is the pastor. I had to deal with my neighbor today, Pastor White, about throwing cigarette butts all in my yard. I just got issues with that. And I said, Lord, if he's out here, I'm going to talk to him. Now, the last time I said that, he came out and started asking me Bible questions. I had to refrain. I couldn't get him at that point. And I said, Lord, if he's out here, I'm going to talk to him. And he's trying to quit smoking and everything. And so he was outside, and I came back. I said, there he is, Lord. I said, all right. I said, last time he asked me Bible questions, this time we'll get him. And I went up there, and I said, Xavier, I got a question for you, man. I said, can you help a brother out? He said, yeah, anything, man. I'll do anything for you. I said, good. I said, when you smoke your cigarettes, I said, I'm a prior smoker. I said, there's such thing as a butt can. I said, I used to put them in that butt can all the time. I said, it's so easy to get those cigarettes and flick them like that. He's like, yeah, it is. I said, I know it is. And I said, see that yard right there? I said, a lot of cigarette butts that you threw over there. Oh, man, I'm trying not to throw him over in your yard. I know you are. I know you are. I said, but could you help me out at least and make sure you put them where they're supposed to be? I said, I used to smoke, so I know how it is. And oh, yeah, I'm trying to quit these things anyway, man. It's dirty, nasty habit. I got to get rid of this. And then he canceled. Said, yeah, I'm going to hook you up. I said, all right. I said, now, when are we going to finish that conversation we had before? I know you're going to say that. I said, you still ain't heard me preach yet. Hey, I knew he was going to say that. I'm going to come and hear you preach. I'm going to work with you. I'm putting the cigarette out right here on this rock, and I'm going to work with you. You got my word. Hey, I don't want any bad name to come to this church based upon what I say or what I do. Even when I got to deal with something like that. Now you say, preacher, why don't you just pick the cigarette butts up? I'd be picking up cigarette butts till time began or till time ends. Whichever the case may be, amen. I'm not doing that, amen. But anyway, what am I saying? Paul wanted to make sure that nothing was brought against this church. And so we see the discreet reply in 35 and 36, but then the disgrace reply. Paul said, you beat us openly. You did all these things against us. And so I am going to protect this baby church. You're going to exonerate me. You're going to tell everybody that this is wrong, amen. Notice down there, by the way, in Roman law, if you beat a Roman, you were guilty of being punished. Sometimes the punishment was death. Roman citizens had that much liberty. And so to beat Paul, they had just open mouth and inserted foot big time. Paul knew it, and they knew it. Notice down in verse 37, Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly and uncondemned, being Romans, and they have cast us into prison. Now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. To protect the name of the church, I believe, is that why he did it. But then notice verse 38. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, notice this, and they feared when they heard that they were what? Roman. They said, oh, they're what? They're Romans. The equivalent would be you just told this guy off. Charmaine, you ran a red light. And you told this guy off. Well, it's this fool's fault right there. It's his fault. I'm going to court. I'm going to fight this. You go to court, and that fool is your judge. Hi. I didn't mean all those things I said back there about you. I'm just having a bad day. Can't you take a joke? They got scared. They said, uh-oh, we just messed up. He's a Roman. He's one of us. Uh-oh. Verse 39, notice the desired reply that Paul wants from them. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. So basically, come on, could you please go? You caused me an earthquake. You about to call me my job. You about to call me my head. Please don't make a scene. Could you please go? Because if word gets out what I did to you, I'm going to die. I got a wife and kids. Think of the family. Think of the legacy. Think of the pedagogy. Think of all that's going to happen if you don't get out of town and tell on me. Because I might do something else, then you sure going to tell. So they try to get rid of Paul now. Now, I know most of y'all would probably leave the city, right? Then there are probably some of y'all say, I ain't going nowhere. I got every right to be here. You going to beat me publicly? Get down and beg and I might leave. Give me some gold coins and I might leave. You promise to leave that church alone over there? You promise never lay a finger on anybody and say they're a Christian? Promise never to beat people without finding out they're Romans? Nah, think about it. Paul didn't say any of that. Hey, I don't know about you, but I don't think I would have been as smooth as Paul. I'm still feeling the wounds on my back. You want me to get out of town, huh? Who's going to pay that doctor bill? And I ain't counting on Dr. Luke. Who going to give me some new clothes that y'all whipped up? Who going to go, man, and tell them prisoners that I'm innocent? Who going to go over there and tell those men that rose up in verses 23 through 24, I'm innocent? Who going to do that? You know, Paul, in all his times of being a missionary, never picketed the city. He never went on strike. He never went on any of those political agendas. Paul just said, let's just win them one at a time. And if I can get me enough saved people in this town will be revived. If I can get me enough saved people in this town will change. The liquor stores will close down. The drug dealers will go out of business. The prostitutes will get right with God. The whoremongers and the liars will get right with God. If I can just get me a handful of Christians to get on fire and get them saved, I don't need to picket. I don't need to go and do all these agendas. I don't need that. I just need some Christians to get right with God and start living right and doing right, and things will change. It's happened in the past. It can happen again. And so Paul down there succumbs to their request. Notice it says verse 40, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. When they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. And don't you think that Paul probably gave them a little bit of leverage and said, now if anybody come over and start some trouble, tell them you know Paul and Silas, the ones who were in prison, and you shouldn't get any more problems out of them. I believe he probably left them some leverage. You let them know, Paul started this church. Why? The Romans know Paul. They're not really concerned about Lydia at this point, or the demon-possessed girl at this point, or the Philippian jailer. They're concerned about Paul and the impact that he had on that demon-possessed girl and on Lydia, and now on this Philippian jailer and all his house. I say all that to say this, you know, when you and I have a chance to stand up for that which is right, let's do it. We can carry our Bibles. We have a free country. We can pray in Jesus' name. It's a free country. We can witness and tell people about Jesus Christ. It's still a free country. We have liberties that we have. Paul said, look, I've got liberties being a Roman. I can do these things. I can stand. I can do this. I can proclaim. There is no law against me sharing my faith with somebody. There's nothing illegal about this. Hey, friend, and we can do the same thing as we go out of here tonight and then tomorrow. Hey, folks, don't let anybody stop you from giving out a tract. Don't let them stop you from reading your Bible. Don't let them stop you from carrying your Bible. Don't let them stop you from praying in Jesus' name or singing a Christian song. Don't let them stop you from wearing your modest clothes when everybody else wants to take their clothes off. Don't let them stop you from doing what you think is right by God according to the word of God. Amen. Why? There's no law against it. Amen. And as we look at how Paul handled this situation of opposition so gracefully in chapter 16, at the end of the day, there's Lydia got saved. There's a demon-possessed girl that got saved. There's a Philippian jailer got saved and all his house. And so there's the makings of the church at Philippi right there. Philippian jailer could have been the pastor. You never know. The Bible doesn't say. Amen. But when you look at this this passage here, we have liberties, and we have got to take advantage of the liberties that we have. Why? Paul did as well. He didn't really call in the trump card that he was a Roman citizen until he absolutely had to do it. And he said, look, if I'm convicted, or if I go away quietly, what's going to become of that little church over there? If you don't make a big deal out of this and let everybody know that I'm innocent, guess what? That little church over there may be harassed down the road. I'm associated with that group over there, and I want everybody to know that what you guys did to me wasn't right. You had no right to do it, so you come publicly and get me out. They did. They said, leave. He said, not before I go back and talk to that little church. And I'm sure he probably gave the Philippian jailer a track. This is the address. You need to go over there and talk to Lydia over here. Amen. That's where the church is at. Amen. When you get off duty, you go over there and talk to her, and you get things rolling over there. That'll be a good place where you can grow. By the way, of all the churches that communicated with Paul, Paul said, nobody like you guys communicated with me. You guys did it the best. Paul didn't have anything negative to say about them. He said, you guys loved me. You cared for me. And look at who it made up of. Lydia, a demon-possessed girl to get saved, and a Philippian jailer in his house. And Paul said, you guys took good care of me, amen? Well, by God's grace, we're going to start into chapter 17 next week and find Paul in Thessalonica. And at this point, Dr. Luke is going to stay here in chapter, in verse number 40, because notice it says, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. And everything before that part, Luke was counting himself in that. But now the whole tense has changed. And so Luke is going to stay behind for a while here in Philippi, according to what historians say. Amen. And we're going to pick Paul up next week as he's in Thessalonica. Amen. And it is a blessing. Paul is getting Gentiles saved. And by the way, that's our business as well, getting Gentiles saved. And folks, you don't know how good we got it. I was talking to a guy yesterday at the hospital, Brother Duffy's roommate, and he's from Syria. And he had told me his name, of all names, his first name was Abraham, his last name was Sarah. And the Muslims beat him mercilessly because his name was Abraham Sarah, and they thought he was a Jew. And the Muslims beat him. And so he went to try and leave the country, and they would not let him leave initially. He finally got out of the country, and he was just talking about being here in America and the freedoms that we have here. We don't really know how blessed we are to be able to have the Bible. He got beat in his own country because of his name. And his name was of a different religion than the religion opposing him. Folks, we got it good. Folks give us a dirty look. That's nothing. Talk about it. You're a Jesus freak. And so what of it? That's nothing. Try being beat like Paul and Silas. Now try having to flee your native country, Syria, like this guy. Because your name. Hey, but wait a minute. Bible says all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall suffer persecution. The same way Paul got beat, something tragic may happen to us or untimely may happen to us. We pray it doesn't happen. But if it does, will we be able to stand like Paul stood and then not give in to using what we have until we absolutely necessarily have to for the glory of God? God is honored when we do that. And we uphold his name, even through difficulties, even through tough times. Paul went through a lot of opposition in chapter 16. But a lot of people got saved as a result. Hey, we've seen some opposition here. But guess what? If people are getting saved and getting discipled, that's what God is honored by. People getting saved, people growing, people being discipled. There are many people around here right now being discipled, and more to come. That's what it's about. Amen. Amen. We're going to break down the prayer groups here. A couple things that I mentioned to you before to pray about. Make sure we keep those things in our minds and on our hearts. The Traveling Mercies there. Devin's upcoming TDY. Bev is not going to California this weekend because she has gotten sick. But continue to pray for her. Many needs are on the prayer sheet. So as you break down with your partner, please, please spend some time in quiet prayer and reflection, asking God to work on behalf of our members, especially Bev and Lily and Ashley with the situation with the baby, Ken and Jerry Duffy, and also Charlene with her health issues, Miss Shirley with her health concerns as well. And we'll be having a baptism Sunday night. Looking forward to that. The Reyes family is getting baptized. So pray for them. You know that when you make that decision to follow Jesus, the devil's going to jump all on them. So pray for them as a couple, that God would work in their lives. Kelly O'Neill is Takesha's mom. She's the one that got saved Sunday night. Encourage her as well in her walk with God and doing the things that God would have her to do as well. So let's pray here, and then we're going to break down into groups. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for allowing us to see the opposition that Paul faced. But Lord, through it all, you brought him through, and he did not utilize his citizenship until he necessarily had to, and that was to protect the church. God, help us at all costs to make sure that, Lord, we do what we do for your glorification, for your honor, and Lord, to protect the name of ourselves and of this church and the name of God and the name of Christ and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, help us to band together as a unit, as Paul tried to do for this group of believers here. Lord, that the things that we stand against opposition-wise, Lord, we'll be banded together against the oppositions so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Lord, we're not ignorant of his devices. And so help us, Lord, to pray one for another that we may stand for the glory of God and see more souls saved and discipled for God's glory and for God's kingdom. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Now watch over us as we pray. Honor our requests, Lord, and hear our prayers. May we be willing to do and fulfill your will through our prayer requests. Well, thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So guys, break down with guys, gals with gals. You got about 15 minutes and the patch kids will be over. Amen. So make sure we grab a partner, and that will be a blessing.